You are listening to That You May Grow, a podcast brought to you by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. I am Preston McElyea, and I'm one of the hosts for this particular program, as well as one of the ministers here at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas. And with me, as always, in the studio is my good brother and fellow minister and fellow co-host, Brother Jared Hammond.
Thankful to be here with you, Preston. As always, we enjoy these opportunities to come together to discuss matters as it pertains to Christianity, and hopefully always trying to see how we can grow closer to God and express, you know, our love for Him and the lives that we live. And one of the main things that we're really trying to focus in on with this season two is different perspectives, making sure that we're talking with people from different age ranges, different perspectives as far as their, you know, age in Christianity and what struggles they may face in comparison to others that they may not.
And we, of course, looking at the perspectives today will be similar, but we'll have it a little bit different today. Because normally, since we only have 2 feet, we can only wear one pair of shoes.
I'll take one pair, you take the other.
I suppose that'll work. And if you're listening and you don't have anyone else to take the other pair of shoes, I guess choose which one you want on your right foot and which one you want on your left foot. Because you can't know someone until you've walked a mile in their shoes. So today we're going to walk in a pair of 11.5s and in a pair of 9.5s because we've got two guests with us for today's episode, and I will let them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Shane Johnson, a member at the North Jefferson Church of Christ.
And I am Jesse Lee Hammond, a member at the Mount Vernon Church of Christ here.
Now, for the benefit of our listeners, would y'all let us know how old y'all are?
I am 16.
And I am 15.
I think I'm going to take the 11.5. That's closer to my own shoe size, so you want to take the 9s?
I generally wear a 10.5, so I'll just kind of scrunch my toes up and I'll put them on.
There you go. Well, it's really good. You know, this season we really wanted to focus on bringing more people into the podcast and, you know, discussing matters as it pertains to Christianity. We know that things are much different from when we were younger, and I'm sure there are many things that may be struggles today that were not even in existence when we were younger or teenagers. So, you know, one of the things we're kind of interested in y'all's own view of Christianity, what are some of the things that may be a struggle today for y'all that may not have been for us?
Something largely probably different than when you guys were kids, or especially when my parents were kids, is the widespread acceptance of disrespect for our authorities and kind of our cultural expectation for relativism, which is contradictory to Jesus's teachings.
Yeah, and some that I thought of was even thinking about modesty and the problems of not only the immodesty around us, but trying to find clothes that modestly fit us and shorts, and it's becoming very difficult. But that may be a change.
You know, I think you can really see it, especially, you know, you could even go back to some of the TV shows that were more prevalent in my youth growing up where, you know, well, take it even further back than before my youth, to go all the way back to like I Love Lucy, right? You would never even hear them say a foul word on shows like that back in that time. And that's like back in, what, the 30s or 40s, somewhere in there, mm-hmm. right? But now you can see this quick transition as time travels is how things can, you know, continue to get worse. So I'm sure what was something that was immodest, you know, that was seen on TV in our time, now in comparison, it's like small fries in comparison.
Yeah. And in some ways, too, even thinking about with the disrespect, Shane, like you bring up, a lot of these things tend to run in cycles. And so it's like, while we may not have seen the disrespect as blatantly in the days of I Love Lucy or the immodesty being as blatant then, you know, as things move in a cycle, eventually we get to a point like we are now, where it's a little more blatant on the disrespect and more out in the open on the immodesty. Because even we could look back in the scriptures and we can go back in the New Testament or in the Old Testament, and there's a clear reason why we find instruction regarding modesty, why we find instruction regarding respect towards our parents or authority in general, and that's because there was evidently a problem with it, an issue with it, which is why God understood that it needed to be addressed.
What are some of the things y'all do now, I guess, in counteracting, today's society?
Like mentioning the respect to authorities, I mean, first of all, you got to make the faith your own. If you're riding on the faith of your parents, you're gonna fall away, or your children are gonna fall away, and you're not gonna be authentic. You're gonna be miserable throughout your life. So take that, make it personal. Do what needs to be done to grow your own faith and grow in strength in a personal way. But also to remember, you're not alone, and the authorities around you, whether that be the church family, your biological family, wherever that is, really can't help because they have a lot more wisdom and probably going to know how to deal with your issues better than you with your lack of wisdom.
Yeah, I think that's really good, and realizing you're not alone and there are people around you that can help you, and not only the authority that can help you, but also people around your own age you can study with or whatever. You can spend time together and study in God's Word and realize that those issues you can work through together, and if you do work through them together, you're unified.
Jesse Lee, you kind of addressed it a little bit in there in talking about how when you realize that you're not alone and you can have a group and those you can study with and work through some of the issues with, I want to kind of continue on off of something that Shane mentioned there right there at the beginning about the importance of making your faith your own. How exactly have the two of y'all, I mean 16 and 15, how have you found a way at this point to be able to make y'all's faith your own and not just let your faith be exactly what your parents is?
One thing that I try to do is me and a big group of guys, we have studies twice a week, and right now we're studying through Hebrews, and we do that together, and we'll have a rotation of who teaches, and that's very helpful. And also just your own study and presenting, even I guess if you present devotionals, you can prepare that and just really focus on your own study and your own time with God.
I know a little bit about this study group that he's mentioning, of course, and Jesse Lee's my son, but you know, the interesting thing about that is all these guys are not right here in this area, but they actually do this over a similar to what we might call a Zoom call or something of that nature. I don't know exactly how they do it. They know tech better than I do.
You do it through TikTok?
Oh, definitely not. Definitely not.
But you have guys all the way out in West Texas, that are taking part in this study that they do. So it's, I could think of a number of things when I was young, even a teenager, doing on a Friday evening, and that probably didn't fall into the category. So I appreciate that,
Well, you're so old that when you were a teenager, you didn't even have that ability or opportunity.
No, not at all. Not at all. I was just thinking when he's talking about, this group, and I know how they do it, and they're using their cell phones, man. I remember the first cell phone I had, and it was much like what you would have a cordless phone today. You could barely fit the thing in your pocket, and all it did was dial numbers. That was it, right? So there's so many things that, they face today that were not even anything we had to be concerned about, but it's good to see that even using these, the technology to do things like that. I appreciate that.
And one thing, pointing back to that technology that you didn't have in your time as a teenager, the peer pressure for social media and the things that are on there that are not pleasing to God that you are pressured to know about and to see and everything, it can make things difficult, but that comes with self-discipline and things like that.
Yeah, with the social media, even with YouTube, which is the main social media platform I use, with the cultural shift, maybe it isn't exaggerated. It just feels exaggerated because with the phones and computers and TVs, it's kind of shot directly into home, kind of shot to the back lines. It's a lot of potential good sheltering that could be done is taken away with the introduction of that kind of technology.
I was listening to a lesson recently, and so there was something in there that really struck me. Of course, I'm older than y'all. But still have, the phone in my pocket, computer, social media, all that kind of stuff. And something that struck me from this particular lesson was a question that was asked about how long does it take you to scroll? Does it take you to swipe, you know, to watch whatever you're doing, whichever platform you're on, until you find something that is actually pleasing to God? Mm-hmm. And you know, there's something to that, because so much of what we see may not necessarily be wrong, but at the same time, how is it helping anything? How is it actually good for me to stop and think about? We think about Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, the importance of where is our mind, where is our focus, where are our thoughts? Is it on good things or is it on bad things? And so to be able to recognize the way that, like y'all are saying, you're able to do with technology, get away from the bad of it, but to be able to utilize it for good, that's a really wonderful thing.
And many of them, you know, I'm sure there are many of the platforms. I'm not going to begin to act like I know all the different platforms that are out there right now.
You're on TikTok?
No, I'm sure, I'm not. I'm sure there are some of them that, you know, y'all likely don't even use for the fact of just how much temptation could be there, how many things that are going to be seen that are not going to be things that would be pleasing to God. So, you know, having that own built-in ability, you know, your own mindset, you know what, I'm going to filter out these from the get-go so that I'm not going to have the problem with these. But, you know, I couldn't imagine, you know, at 15, 16 years old, you know, some of the things that y'all have to face now that never were even a thought in the mind when I was a teenager. And it makes me sound like I'm ancient or something the more we talk here. But, and it really hasn't been that long, you know, and I can only imagine how much worse things are going to get. So it's good to see, you know, young teens that are trying, like you said early on, and I think it's so crucial to build your own faith, you know, not piggybacking off of mom and dad's faith, mm-hmm. but rather, you know, building your own ground and your own legs to stand on, you know, grounded in the word of truth. It's so important. It's crucial, you know, for your age now and even, you know, for the years to come as you work your way into adulthood. It's very important to have that faith.
And I don't know if y'all have experienced it or not, but with my age, my generation, we kind of came up through like middle school when Facebook was really starting to get popular with everybody. And so middle school and high school, so much on Facebook. By the time we get to high school and college, there's a lot on Twitter. And I guess that's X or something like that now. I don't know. I don't use it anymore. But something I remember going through that time is the way that that could affect me personally mentally. You know, you see so much, you learn so much, and so much of it is not what you really want to know or see or learn, even about other people. And so it can just start to weigh on you heavily mentally, and sometimes that can really take a toll. Is that anything that y'all recognize today? You don't necessarily have to say it for yourself, but just within your group of peers and your generation, if there really is kind of an effect on you mentally as it relates to so much of that.
Oh, absolutely. I like the loss of, like, you know, mentioning seeing things, the loss of sleep on social media, just scrolling late at night, that can't be good for you. There's a lot of elements of social media that has some redeeming qualities, but largely are destructive in nature.
Yeah, and another huge problem with them that affects you mentally with depression, anxiety, and things like that is the lack of family time that you get due to it, because we're so wrapped up in busy lives and everything, and then if that is your main outlet, then family is just kind of on the back burner that, oh, well, I may do this tonight with my family. And that also, I mean, broken homes, split homes, that can also stem from it, and that is a huge problem from that.
Absolutely. You know, I just had an image while y'all were talking about those things of like a family sitting in their house, and it's too often is, you know, we're probably guilty of this, but all the family members in the house sitting in their respective area of the living room with their cell phone out, you know, scrolling through some source of social media. And then I had another thought, wow, I just got Facebook not 6 years ago or something like that. So that was my first jump into some of the social media. You know, it was just more in the last 6 to 10 years. But, you know, they do. They pull people. They pull our attention away from, you know, the family. They pull our attention away from God. So there's a lot of negative qualities that can be found in it. But at the same time, you know, used properly, can be used for a lot of good things also.
I think another big problem with social media, even in the school setting or among your peers, is the fact of the peer pressure of looking, almost wanting to look perfect, as it were, all the time on social media, so your peers don't think of you a wrong way. And just the pressure and anxiety that comes with is can be pretty brutal.
That can also foster jealousy, because if everybody else is looking perfect on social media and then people see everybody looking perfect, even if they know that they're not perfect because they know some of the personal issues going on, it's easy to feel like you're not living your life properly. You can never attain that, and it makes you feel like a failure, which is not productive.
Yeah, social media has a real problem with shifting the focus on self and self-perception. If I post this, what are others going to think about me? Or, I don't want to post this because it's not the best look. I've gained some weight this month and I'm afraid of what so-and-so might think, and I'm probably not going to get as many likes. And that's really kind of a lot of the goal behind social media is to put a focus on self. But of course, our focus needs to be on God and bringing others to Him. And so kind of with that in mind, I want to ask y'all's question ask y'all's thoughts with a question kind of related to evangelism. What have y'all seen or have you come across anything evangelism-wise that seems to work maybe better with y'all's generation than some of the things from the past?
The previous generation's more aggressive persuasion was more effective. Now it's a lot – it has to be not sugarcoated, because that's not something you should be doing, but – gently leading people into it. So a more gentle approach might work better, trying to build a relationship, get them over some way, somehow. I haven't been very successful with that. That's something that as growing in my faith, I need to work on being able to make my age group, my friends, able to give me opportunities to reach out to them with God's word.
And building on that, being more aware of possibility of upsetting one in evangelism, is people sensitivity can really change things in that, and just getting to know the person, like he said, and really try to get that door of opportunity, just become friends with them first, and then start to introduce these biblical ideas and thoughts, and try to have them chew on that and think about that, and try to invite them and make a change.
And then at the same time, you can't be too gentle. Otherwise, they're never going to know they're lost. They're going to feel good, even though – and they just feel like they're gaining more knowledge. And it's kind of a difficult – it seems to be a difficult balance to strike.
Right.
The whole evangelism, even at our age, something – and we're preachers, right? It's still something at times that is challenging. How do I need to go about this, or did I do this? Should I went a different route, or should I have said something differently? So it's always going to be challenges that come with evangelism, but just to know that teens have that mindset. Where can I help? Where can I do more? Where can I reach out to others? One of the things I wonder is just how important this kind of pulls us a little bit away from that discussion, but how important is it to y'all as far as the opportunities to gather with the congregation, to gather with your, brothers and sisters in Christ or your friends of the church? How important are those gatherings to y'all as far as building your own faith?
Being homeschooled, it's like the most exciting part of my week.
I agree with that. It can be, and the older I get, the more I do appreciate it and realize what a great thing it is, and just having a kind of a refresh, mm-hmm. kind of like a detox almost. You're from all the things that you have not partaken in of the world, but the people of the world that you've been around in certain interactions, and then you get to go and you get to be surrounded by saints and you get to worship God, and just it's a beautiful thing, really.
And to that point, like growing in maturity and everything, when I was a kid, I loved the lesson. I thought that was like my favorite part, but the singing was kind of boring to me. I'll be honest. It was like – I just – I knew it was necessary, but I didn't enjoy it. Growing in my personal faith and maturity, it's become something that I'm appreciating now, and that's something that's been kind of encouraging and I think pleasing to God.
You know, just for – because, you know, who knows who will wind up being able to listen in on the podcast as they air, but what are some of the different events, if you will, that y'all are able to go to just for that added, encouragement?
Well, the worship services, the Bible studies on Wednesday night, teen events with devos and getting to have fellowship with friends.
Bible bowls.
Yeah, the Northeast Texas Bible Bowl, that's a really good one. Certain even gospel meetings or summer youth series or summer series, church camps, different Bible studies you can have with other brothers in Christ and sisters in Christ. Those are very helpful.
I know it's been a little bit now, but we had Brother J.J. Hendricks on an episode with us, and one of the main things we talked about with him was church camp and the importance of that, and talked a lot about the way that relationships are able to be formed out at camp that will last, and part of that's because of the way we have technology now, but even kind of circling way back earlier to how it was mentioned that y'all have some of these long-distance study groups. How many of – or kind of where – did all of those relationships or connections come from? Was it through things like the Bible Bowl or youth series or through camps or through different lectureships or meetings or just kind of, how is it that you are able to make these connections?
This Bible study that we've been referring to that I do with a lot of guys, that I found out about that from church camp and from – I met a lot of these guys there and spending time with each other there for about a week together and then – growing that relationship there and then beginning to study with one another.
Can it be hard at times to try to sort of, I don't know if step out of your comfort zone is the right way to put it, but to be able to help establish some of these relationships and friendships with people who you really don't know until you make that effort?
I feel like it really can at first until you actually, me personally, until I actually just hang out with them, sit down, talk with them, just hang out. Then it becomes easier, and then it's just kind of, go from there. But to that initial getting, saying hello, getting to know one another, that can be quite daunting at times.
Yeah. With visitors, worship and everything, I lean extroverted. And people will think, especially, my younger brother, for example, he kind of assumes that it's, super easy for me to go up to the visitor and everything. But until I'm actually talking with them, it's like when you like almost feel like glazed over in the eyes because you're like so nervous, you're just kind of forcing yourself to take the steps. That's kind of what it feels like. And it's something you got to force yourself. But once you start it, it really does become easier. It's the maybe boogeyman aspect of it kind of fades away.
Thinking back even to camp and, all these relations and meeting these new people, how important is camp to y'all every year?
It's so exciting.
It's got to be one of the best parts of the summer. It's awesome. Yeah. It is a very important thing.
It's so uplifting, too. Like, you feel like you're on cloud nine for the following 3 weeks. It's great. Yeah.
And that is also, like I had mentioned, worship, it's just kind of you get away from technology, you get away from the sins that we can, the temptations that we can find ourselves in, and it's really nice.
You got to watch out though, because you might end up like me, which would be a good thing. That sounds really self-conceited. I guess I should make sure I say everything before I. Okay, I just need to stop talking. Anyway, you got to be careful and look forward for opportunities there, because you might just come away not just with a greater spiritual strength, but you might come away with a wife. That's what happened to me at camp. So that's a good thing, though. That's why I said it would be good for you to be like me.
I think I knew where you were going from the very get-go there. But then I heard where you kind of got caught up in
words are hard, okay? I'm in the wrong profession because words are hard.
You know, that's one of the beautiful things about camp, you know, and for those listening, we're talking about Camp Idol. One of the beautiful things about camp, whether you are a teenager, whether you're a young adult, whether you are a parent, whether you're a grandparent, what they were talking about as far as that feeling and that just encouragement and being built up, that's to be experienced by everyone who goes out there. It really is. It's a wonderful time, you know, and it helps. And I'm sure it's helped you all even in the past in maybe overcoming, you know, some of the things you thought, well, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I can lead singing. I don't know if I can do a devotional, you know, camp and other opportunities, you know, even like here with the youth devotional and sing out. You know, I'm sure that helps, you know, y'all in having those opportunities to kind of take those baby steps outside of your comfort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely an encouraging environment to grow, which you might not find in other day-to-day circumstances.
It's a great place to make friends as well, as I've kind of mentioned before, because the people there, I mean, it's a safe bet. They believe the same things you do, and it's a great place to make friends even.
Well, there's something to be said about surrounding yourself with the right people. We generally talk about peer pressure being a negative thing, but there's such a thing as positive peer pressure. Mm-hmm. And so when you're able to do what you can to try to get rid of the negative influences in your life and replace that with positive, that really is only going to have a good and a positive impact on your life.
Mm-hmm. You know, thinking about I just assume that, you know, some of the things that you've already, we all kind of have these lists, maybe that things we want to do, or maybe I could do a little bit better, or maybe I could serve to a greater capacity. You know, each of you, I know, because we know y'all personally, are doing things to serve in the Lord's church, and we're grateful for that. Is there anywhere that you would like to serve to a greater capacity as you, you know, progress in Christianity? Is there anything you know, have in mind that you might want to do later that you're not doing now?
Once I get a driver's license and phone number, I'd like to be in contact to an extent, be more encouraging to shut-ins and the ill, people who can't really make it out, need encouragement. I would definitely like to be able to start doing that much more often.
One thing that that I have recently found myself wanting to do more, even like in worship, song leading and trying to do that, is that's a good thing that I try to do more. But yeah, even, you know, helping other people that are shut-ins or people that can't really get out that do enjoy seeing people, that's a really good one as well.
I appreciate y'all's ability to kind of recognize where it is, you know, that you can continue to grow. And also to see where it is you'd like to continue in that. And I'm sure, you know, if we had more time that y'all be able to discuss even more areas in which you'd like to continue to grow or where you might see yourself. We talk about 5 and 10 year plans and thinking about that spiritually speaking, where you want to be at that point. But as we're beginning to kind of wrap things up here for today's episode, one thing that we've been trying to do with all of our guests at the end of each of these episodes is to figure out, what's your favorite book of the Bible? Who is your favorite Bible character, with, of course, the exception of Jesus? So
fair.
We tried to give y'all a heads up on it, but now's the time to let us know. So what is y'all's favorite book of the Bible?
Probably my favorite book is the book of Acts. Just the fact that we gain so much example from it and it's so applicable to us, it's something that I don't know, maybe excites me a little bit.
My favorite book personally is probably the book of Esther. Just the providential hand in that book and the faith we see from Mordecai and Esther herself, and even her being a young woman at the time that weren't really considered to be the best, most respected as far as opinions, and her still doing all that she did for that kingdom. It's a really good book.
What about on as far as name of the Bible, what's one that stands out to y'all as someone who is a, I don't know, one you say look up to a little bit, I guess?
Saul to be called Paul, more specifically Paul.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Paul as well. Just everything that he changed from, changing from Saul to Paul, the difference that he made in his life, and that after that, just all the great things he did alongside Jesus is very inspirational and a good example.
You know, in a lot of ways, to be able to look up to somebody like Paul, you know, he may not be here with us, well, he's not here with us, walking next to us and talking to us each day, but because of what we have recorded about him in the Bible, he's still able to be really, in a true sense, a mentor to us all. And I know he's one that, me personally, I look up to as well, and can learn a lot from.
You know, before we get ready to wrap up and I pull off the 11 and a half that I've walked almost a mile in now.
Yeah, I'm ready to get the 9 and a half off. So I'm stretch my toes out.
That's right. That's right. Just one thought or one question. This one's kind of on the fly, so we didn't actually mention this to them beforehand. But if you had one piece of advice to give teens that are your age, say someone who is, you know, maybe a little bit more new to Christianity or even to learning about God, what advice would you give them to help kind of strengthen them along their way or to help guide them in the right direction?
So someone who's kind of new to Christianity as a whole, you're not alone. There are people around you who really want to help you. There are people who would be honored to mentor you. And remember, God is with you. The Holy Spirit is dwelling in you as a Christian. So if you can find the people around you who can help you grow as a Christian, you're probably going to be a whole lot better off.
A little advice that I could have would be realize that the difficulties that you're going through in life, maybe you are right now or maybe you have, is as we see in James 1, that those can be for good and we can grow from those. And there's a quote, it's it goes something like this, easy time, or see, how does this start? Hard times create strong men. Strong men create easy times. Easy times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. And so just knowing that even though you may be going through something hard right now, that when you come out on top, things are going to be better.
Yeah, and that's a really good point to make, because if we go into different circumstances and we immediately have a negative outlook on, man, this is just beating me down, rather than looking at, hey, this could also, in fact, be building me up and making me stronger for what's to come. So, you know, I appreciate the advice, and especially that of surrounding ourselves with like-minded brethren and knowing that we're not alone, that there are plenty of people out there who want us to, you know, excel in our faith and excel in Christianity. You know, it's good advice for all ages. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, and I think that's hopefully one thing that we might be able to see going through this particular episode with you guys is that, you know, there are certain challenges and struggles that may be specific to you as teenagers. But what you'll find as you get older is a lot of times the source of the challenge might change, but at its core, it remains the same. And that's just something that comes with growth, with life. I mean, I'm not that old myself, but I can still kind of see it looking back of how some of the things I struggled with as a teenager still have struggles with today. It just comes in different ways. And what that gets to is the fact that no matter our age, we're all human. We all struggle. We all have challenges. And the solution, no matter our age, is always the same. It all goes back to God, to His Son, Christ Jesus, and to the gospel. And so I appreciate you guys being here with us today. Jared, do you have any final thing before we wrap up?
No, I think that's it. That's all I have.
Well, we appreciate y'all's time and hope y'all have enjoyed our conversation with Shane and Jesse Lee today. I know I've benefited from it, and I appreciate both of y'all, like I've said already a couple times.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Well, you have been listening to That You May Grow, and this is a podcast brought to you by the Mount Vernon Church of Christ. And our hope and prayer, as always, is that you continue to study, continue to read God's Word, and continue to do what it is that God would have you to do so that you can continue to grow.